This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's another barb that people like to take at me when they're trying to insult me. They tell me only truckers listen to your show, which in and of itself is completely ludicrous. But have you been on the highways lately? Have you seen the number of semis that are out there on the highways at all hours of the day and night? Oh my gosh. I tend to drive more at night, not only because that's when I commute, but also because I am a night owl. So when I do my road trips, I prefer driving at night and attempting to avoid rush hour traffic. The semis, the trucks, whether it's semis or box trucks, they are everywhere all the time. I won't say that they're always the source of my road rage, but there are many moments where I feel like that truck just won't get out of my way. And so even, I know, I'm a disaster. Even if it's only truckers, which it isn't, but even if it is only truck drivers who listen to my show, the ratings are still through the roof. Boom, baby. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Amy Lawrence and all of you truckers out there, that was my nod to you. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. By the way, we need more truck drivers on the road because of the supply and demand issues that are happening post-pandemic. I mean, a lot of our economy hinges on the fact that there are not enough truck drivers out there to be able to drive delivery trucks. So if you can drive, it's got to be good work right now. We are into our final hour of the show, which blows me away. We're also into the final days of July, which I can't even remotely process right now. Sunday is August. As in the month of August, not the name August. we've had quite the emotional experience breaking down everything Aaron Rodgers had to say, or a lot of what Aaron Rodgers had to say on Wednesday. Finally, Aaron Rodgers speaks. So you're going to hear from him and you can form some of your own conclusions. I've come up with a few of mine. One of those is that Rodgers can't separate head from heart. And I don't mean that as a criticism. I don't separate head from heart. Everything I do, I am all in 110%. I'm not great at staying emotionally disconnected from my business, if that makes sense. Now, am I professional? Sure. Is Aaron Rodgers professional? Absolutely. Can he do his job when the lights go on? Well, hell yes. We know he can do that. So can I. But the reason I can relate is because I've poured every part of me into my career now for 20 plus years. It's what I've wanted to do since I was 16 years old, not necessarily talk show hosting, but this is how it manifested. There's no part of me that isn't emotionally invested in my job. And I could never treat it as just a job, right? I could never treat it as, oh, that's my career. Now, do I love getting away from it when I have the opportunity? Sure. But part of that is because I know it's waiting for me when I get back. But I also understand dealing with insecurities in the job. There is zero job security in sports broadcasting. Even when you have a contract, it doesn't mean that the company's going to honor the contract all the way through. They may have to pay you, but they may pull you off the air and pay you to do nothing. We've many examples of that over the past 10 years in my business. And it's the same way in sports. As Devontae Adams noted on Wednesday, if a team doesn't feel like you've performed, or a team feels like what they would have to pay you to keep you is beyond their budget or not worth it to them, well, they can walk away without a warning. They can walk away and unceremoniously dump you. And in the case of Aaron Rodgers, he would like the same investment from the team that he has given the Packers for 16 plus years. And he asked for a little extra this offseason. He delineated his timeline. He laid the whole freaking timeline out. We could play the whole 6 minutes for you, but I'll just give you the highlights. He went to the team. He asked to be more involved in the conversations that would help to put the team together, not just this offseason, but moving forward as long as he was there. And I think if you look around, there are some athletes who are afforded that luxury. Not many. Let's be honest. There are not many, not as many as you think, who have any input in the way a team is built. Russell Wilson said he wanted that. And what happened? The Seahawks stayed silent for months and refused to trade him. So, I mean, in the NFL, players have even less clout than what they have in other sports where their contracts are guaranteed. But in the case of Tom Brady, and let's be honest, didn't Aaron Rodgers get up close and personal with the phenomenon that is Brady now in a Buccaneers uniform? In the NFC Championship, it was staring him in the face. He couldn't get away from it. And then he watched Brady win another ring, and he realizes that Brady and the Bucs will be his competition again this season. But yeah, it's hard not to compare yourself to Tom Brady when it's right there. And Brady has everything that he wanted last year. And so he goes to his team. He feels like he should have some input because of everything he's invested in the team. He wants to be included in the process. Says the team didn't really change the way that it has included him in the past or not included him in the past, that nothing really changed on that front. So then the conversation shifted to assurances. Now, you can read into that what you will. Assurances for the 2021 season and beyond. Rodgers says that none of that was given. And that at that point, he started to assess the situation and decide what he wanted to do and whether or not he wanted to remain with the Packers if there was no assurance that they were as committed to him as he was to them. As I said earlier, it's like one of us non-professional athletes who are in a relationship and we feel like the end is coming. We're pretty confident our significant other is looking down the road and is either trying to find a way to break up with us, or it's just inevitable. You know it's coming. And Rodgers is thinking, well, heck, if they're not committed to me, then I'm not committed to them. And if we're going to do this, let's just break up now. Why drag this thing out? There are songs written about this very thing. How many songs have been composed about, let's just get this thing done? If you're going to break up with me, let's just go. Let's just do this thing. Why drag it out? I can think of about five country music songs along that same theme. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, on Facebook, we're glad to get your responses. I love some of you are just telling me you're on Aaron's side. Like Aaron Rodgers all the way. That's the tweet from Cosmo. And I do believe there was some element to that. Rodgers is airing his grievances. He was frank. He was open. I don't think he was lying, but definitely he was putting his side of the story out there to maybe turn the tide a little bit, because there are a lot of Packers fans, a lot of football fans that got tired of this whole thing in the offseason and had kind of turned against Rodgers. I had just asked, Leroy Butler, for sure, longtime Packers safety, one of the great Packers defensive players in their history, but also I'd asked a radio host. I'd heard from some of you fans on social media. There was definitely the sense that Packers fans are over it and ready to move on. It's another version of the breakup story, right? Hey, Aaron, if you don't want to be here, there's the door. And so there's all these emotions, right? So many emotions. And in my opinion, as I listened to Aaron talk on Wednesday, it did feel like there was a sense that he was sharing his perspective and airing his grievances, his beefs with the team, in a way that might convince the Packers fans that he's not to blame for all this. And so, again, you can find me on Twitter or Facebook, or you can give us a ring, a jingle, a jangle, a tingle. No, not that. Don't do that. A tinkle. Nope, don't do that either. Okay, so Aaron Rodgers says this whole thing started long before you actually thought it started. It did not start on draft night.
A lot of things have transpired. This wasn't, a draft day thing. You know, this was started with a conversation in February at the season ended. And I just expressed, my desire to be more involved in conversations that directly affected my job. I wanted to help the organization maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated, and just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room.
He went on to list a bunch of names, names that you know, names that had been brought up before in conversation. I do think it's fairly telling, humorous in the Packers' own way, that he lists Randall Cobb on the day that Randall Cobb is reacquired by the Packers. Is that too little too late? If you're Aaron Rodgers, producer James, if you're Aaron Rodgers and the team went out and reacquired Randall Cobb in a trade on the very day that you share your opinions about how the team isn't valuing people that have been so important to the franchise, is that too little too late? Is that a joke? Or do you actually believe that they're sincere and that this is it's almost an olive branch that they're offering Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I think I agree with the latter. I think if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm pretty grateful for it. I mean, they brought your buddy in, so they're kind of listening to you. Like, it maybe took a while, and it's, not exactly the way. But, it's proof that they're trying to, they're listening to him. They hear him.
Okay, so you don't think it's too little too late? Like, it's a Band-Aid on a broken leg, so to say.
No, I don't think so. I think it'll be a good move, and I think Cobb's going to have a good season.
You far less cynical than I am. Okay, so we keep after we hear from Aaron Rodgers a little more, James and I have had this ongoing discussion. He still believes this is all about the Jordan Love pick. And I kind of feel like it's part of that, or maybe that got him deep in his feelings, but it's not necessarily about that. So I do want you to hear what James has to say. But moving on, he says that he wanted to be more involved. He wanted to have a voice. He even offered to recruit fellow free agents or fellow Packers. New Packers, and he wanted the franchise to value not just his input, but value some of the guys that he felt like had been building blocks along the way to this Packers culture. Now, clearly the Packers culture started decades before Aaron Rodgers ever got there, but in his experience, in his 16-plus years, he has believed that the organization didn't value the loyalty, didn't value the contributions of some of these Packers that he felt like were so important to the success of the team over the last 16 years. All right, but it's not about draft day. Now, in March, he said the conversation changed. He was looking for a commitment from the Packers beyond 21. Now, to me, because his contract is one that would have, now it's probably changed at this point. If you believe the reports that are out there, they are voiding the 2023 year in his contract. So the last year in his contract would have been 23. But the commitment that he's referring to is not the contract. It's the commitment that he will be their starting quarterback through the end of his deal and beyond. Or as long as Aaron Rodgers wants to play, he will be the Packers starter. But that's not the commitment he's getting. Well, and that's not the commitment the Packers can give him. Why? Because they moved up to draft Jordan Love. They have to know what they have in Jordan, or they have to trade him. Because what's going to happen, he's going to, if they continue to go with Aaron Rodgers, and right now, why wouldn't you? He's the reigning MVP. But if you stick with Rodgers and never know what you have in Jordan Love, you're looking at a repeat of what happened in New England with Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo. The Patriots were going to lose him, so they had to trade him for a second-round pick to San Francisco. He was going to be a free agent. He was going to leave. The Packers don't want Jordan Love to walk without finding out what they've gotten him because they moved up to get him in the first round. And so it becomes a little convoluted. Rodgers clearly wants them to commit to him no matter what other quarterbacks are on their roster, and they're not willing to do that. It's not about the money. This I actually believe. I mean, we had a caller who said he has enough money. I mean, who are you to say when someone else believes they have enough money? So that's not really the deal. But no, it's about the team being as invested in him and committed to him as he believes he is to the team. So yeah, it's much more emotional, and he's much more about the heart and about the feelings and about the relationship. As he talked about with Kenny Mayne, it's about the people. And unfortunately for him and for many other athletes, often it's the business side that so abruptly interrupts, especially when you're toward the end of your career. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. He wanted the Packers to want him beyond whatever his contract might say. I want you to want me to want you to want me.
A commitment for the 2021 season and beyond. That really wasn't given at any time. So for me, I had to assess the situation. Not necessarily wanting to be a lame duck quarterback, especially after an MVP season, which I think you can understand.
Oh, that's got to be one of my favorite parts. He's talking to a bunch of reporters. You can hear them banging away on their computers, which is amazing. And so he's talking to a bunch of reporters and he says, I didn't really want to be a lame duck quarterback after an MVP season, which I think you can understand. Oh, I mean, yeah, of course, everybody in the room, everybody in the country can understand being a lame duck quarterback after an MVP season. So good. So good. Anyway, Rodgers says they tried to throw some money at the problem and that wasn't the issue. He was looking for a commitment, not money. Oh, see, I can come up with relationship analogies all day. It's like buying somebody a diamond ring. That's not what they're looking for. That's not what I'm looking for. Nope. Plus, I didn't want to have to ask for your commitment. I wanted you to commit to me without me begging for it. I mean, these are not, of course, coming from personal experiences, please. Anyway, one more, and you are going to love this one. This is our favorite here on After Hours. He was asked whether or not he wants to retire a Packer.
I said last year that there's some things that might be out of my hands at this point. And, you know, based on them drafting my replacement, J-Lo last year, I think that kind of put things in motion. Based on the way the season went last year, there was nothing in last season that made me confident that I'd be back after 21 and maybe even not after 2020. I'm not a victim here at all. I just want to reiterate that. Like, I've been paid a ton of money by this organization. I'm so thankful to be a starter here for my 14th season. Not many guys have the opportunity to do that. So I'm not, I don't feel like anything's been done to me. It's a business.
So he says it's a business, but you can hear in his, not only in his tone, but you can hear in his words that yes, it's a business, but he's not just about the business. He's emotionally invested. And I appreciate that because that is who I am. He also, wait, this is the one that we can't help but laugh at. Like, maybe I'm not supposed to laugh. Maybe it's not supposed to be funny, but this is hysterical. He's indirectly taking a shot at a lot of Wisconsin people.
Wanting to be a part of conversations involving free agents, which has never happened in my career. I've trained with a number of NFL guys most of my career in the off seasons. My agency, Athletes First, has had a number of high draft picks over the years. I've tried to pass along information. Hasn't really been used, shall we say. I think we can all understand, you know, Green Bay isn't, a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me. to play with our team and knowing that they can win a championship here. And the fact that I haven't been used in those discussions was one I wanted to change moving forward. And I felt like based on my years, the way I can still play, that should be a natural part of the conversation.
So in pointing out how he should be part of the recruiting process and the conversations about building the team, he takes a shot at Green Bay. I think we're all clear that Green Bay is not a vacation destination. I mean, Green Bay is beautiful, in my opinion. I love it, actually. I know a lot of people who would love living there, including Mike McCarthy, who married a woman who's local and still has a house there. Anyway, I digress. He says Green Bay is not a vacation destination. People come here to play with me. All of this other equity he built up kind of goes out the window when he says, it's not about you, Green Bay. It's about me. No, this is not about you. This is about me.
With me. People are coming here to play with me.
Like I said, I'm probably not supposed to be laughing, but it's hysterical to hear him say it. All right, so is it about Jordan Love or is it not about Jordan Love? James has a theory. You probably have theories as well. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. There are other quarterbacks out there. And, I mean, there really are. But we've waited so long to hear from Aaron Rodgers. And you know what? I kind of feel like it was worth the wait. Good morning to you. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Does anybody care what Brian Gutekunst has to say? It was such a very different tone. Aaron Rodgers commands the room. Everyone's hanging on the words that are coming out of his mouth, overanalyzing everything that is said. And in the meantime, Brian G's reactions and responses and questions are, I don't know, they kind of got lost in the shuffle. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Here is what Brian had to say when asked about whether or not Rodgers is considered in free agent moves and in putting the team together.
Aaron's had kind of the same input he's always had, you know, I think, which has been a lot. I mean, he's earned a place at the table. I think he always has. I think one of the things through this offseason, I think, is learning how to incorporate that.
Green Bay isn't, a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me.
Well, if you want Aaron's input, there it is. I mean, in that moment, could you be any more arrogant, Aaron Rodgers? This kind of reminds me of what Tom Brady, well, the same attitude Tom Brady had when he was sitting with Jim Gray on that Sirius XM radio special, in which I'm not going to be able to remember it exactly right, but are you kidding me? You bypassed the GOAT. You looked past Wayne Gretzky and Michael Jordan. You don't want those guys on your team. Now, he's the reigning Super Bowl champion quarterback, so I feel like he has a little more equity. And I am not going to make jokes about what Aaron said, which is people come here to win Super Bowls. I refuse. I'm leaving that. That's low-hanging fruit. I'm not touching that. Brian was also asked about Rodgers' future with the organization.
We're just kind of like really focused on 2021. It's kind of a year-to-year business, as you guys know. And we'll get, have a really successful season. We'll get to the other side of it and we'll figure those things out.
I just got this tweet from Chris. This is hysterical. Again, low-hanging fruit, so it's easy to make jokes. He says, Rodgers is funny. Guys go there to play with him only to watch him not exert his power and allow the field goal team to come on the field with the season on the line knowing they need 7 and not 3. I mean, there is a little truth to that. If it's me, it's not me, but I'm refusing to get off the field. I mean, you're gonna have to pull me kicking and screaming off the field in that situation. And I sincerely hope that Matt LaFleur never does that again. He's probably really grateful that Aaron Rodgers has reappeared, as is Devontae Adams. So, James, you're sure this is still about Jordan Love? Like, that was the match that lit this flame that refuses to go out. It's now the eternal flame.
I really think it is. I think you nailed it when you said that Aaron Rodgers can't separate the head from the heart. But I think in his heart, all he's thinking is just Jordan Love. And, like, I think that
he's obsessed.
I think he's obsessed. He even calls him J-Lo. Like, he mentions him in his thing.
J-Lo.
He mentions him in his press conference. Like, I just feel like since that move, it's really just eating at him. And I think it's really just making him feel, I don't know, less confident in the world, even though he's the MVP. I think it just still really is bothering him. He can't shake it.
Interesting, because in his mind, that indicates the team has already put a plan in place for when they're moving on from him. And as I say, it's one of those deals. Well, hey, if you're going to dump me, then I'm going to dump you first. Like, it's interesting. And because it's football and there are no assurances beyond the week that you're in, much less the year that you're in, the season that you're in, things change so quickly. It's one of those deals where you have to go into it knowing that you don't have great job security. And yet I come back to this. This was the case last year, right? Jordan Love got drafted in 2020. And what did he do? He went out there and put together a career season. If you're Aaron Rodgers and you're coming off the best year of your career and an MVP, why are you worried about all this? You go out there and play like that again, and the team goes 13-3 and goes to the NFC Championship. Guess what? They're still not moving to Jordan Love. Like, in my opinion, he still has all the control because he's freaking Aaron Rodgers. He's one of the best quarterbacks that's ever played the game. Right, so if you're Rodgers and you're the reigning MVP, you should have more confidence than that. You shouldn't so much care what the team thinks of you. I get you want validation. I get you want security. But screw that. Just go out there and be an MVP again, and that takes care of itself. Or there's another team out there that's willing to give up an arm and a leg to have you be part of what they're doing. So, but that's just me. I'm not Aaron Rodgers. All right, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Believe it or not, Aaron Rodgers speaking finally was not my favorite part of what happened in sports on Wednesday. And also, I promised to answer the question, how did the Zoom call go with the boss, the new boss, as in first time that I ever spoke to him, new boss. You can find me on Twitter or Facebook. It's always good to connect with you.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Ron, we've been watching Craig Kimbrell now for, this is his third season in a Cub uniform. He may have had a better save at some point before today. I can't remember a better one than this one here today.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You make my dreams come true. It might be the only Hall & Oates song I know, but I do like it. Pat Hughes on the Cubs Radio Network. The save of the week, sponsored by Credit Karma Money. Open your free FDIC insured account with no minimum balance, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals. Go to creditkarma.com. Clubs, I knew I was going to do that. Clubs Kozer. Oopsie. It's late in the show. Cut me some slack. Cubs, you got to do it very, actually, you throw in the Chicago part. Chicago Cubs closer Craig. Oh, that's just wrong. Cubs closer Craig Kimbrell. Oh, that's so wrong. Producer James, I hold you personally responsible. Chicago Cubs closer Craig Kimbrell. Try to say that four times really fast. Just go. No, do it on the mic. Go ahead.
Chicago Cubs closer Craig Kimbrell.
That was one time.
Chicago Cubs closer Craig Kimbrell.
Exactly my point. Anyway, back to our save of the week, sponsored by Credit Karma Money. Craig Kimbrell has been all over the rumor mill this week because we're approaching baseball's trade deadline. It's in the next 24 hours. Ruh-roh. Kimbrell has been borderline dominant this season, successful in all but two of his save attempts, and his ERA is south of 0.5. Spiffy. Whether the Cubs' safety net will be moved before the deadline or not is part of the intrigue as we approach end of July. But Kimbrell would definitely be a huge addition to any postseason team trying to anchor the back end of that bullpen as the Houston, I almost said Texans, as the Houston Astros have done over the past couple of days, right? They've been working on their bullpen and shoring up their bullpen. 855-212-4227. While we're talking about trade deadline really quickly, got to mention that the Yankees are about to acquire outfielder Joey Gallo from the Rangers. And so this is a move that they still are going through their physicals and medical, la, la, la. But it should become official sometime on Thursday. And yeah, the Rangers are getting some pieces, but the big part is Joey Gallo, and they definitely need an outfielder to help go along and Well, outfielder, and then you think about the left-handed part of it, too, with Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge being some of their other sluggers. They obviously have their injury issues, but talk about formidable in a lineup if you can get all of those guys together. And the lefties, they've really struggled for the Yankees this season. It's part of the reason why their offense has been anemic at times. I'll just give you one stat. Their left-handed hitters are last in the major leagues in batting average. Last, and that's saying something considering that a lot of the offensive numbers have dropped this season. Last in the majors in batting average are New York's lefties, 28th in home runs. Gallo will be trying something all new because it's not the same in Arlington, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, as it is in New York when it comes to baseball. And he gets this huge opportunity, not only because it's New York, but also because the Rangers are dead last in the AL West in what is a really tough division. And while the Yankees are right now scuffling and trying to get back in that wild card race, it's different and it's gives you something to play for. So it's only 27 years old. We'll see what happens moving forward. He definitely has seen his own struggles since the All-Star break, but the Yankees are hoping this offers a boost to their offense. So trade deadline is coming up. So the 31st is Saturday. The trade deadline is Friday, though, correct? It's the 30th, Friday, 4 o'clock Eastern time. And there are some people who are predicting a flurry of activity. So that's in these, not quite 24, I said 24 hours, but it's a little more than that. But you have that to keep up with and to watch. And then also the NBA draft, which takes place tonight in Brooklyn. And the number one pick is expected to be Cade Cunningham of Oklahoma State. His former coach, Mike Boynton, of the Cowboys, was on CBS Sports Radio with Tiki and Tierney talking about why Cade is a steal.
I've seen all these kids play, but I think the thing that separates Cade, at 6'8", you don't have to figure out where he fits with your team, because Cade is good enough to fit whatever your roster looks like. So he's coming in as a point guard, and he played point guard a lot for us, but he can also play off the ball. He averaged 20 points a game, led the Big 12 in scoring. He could post up. He's a tremendous rebounder. He's a good playmaker if you don't have somebody that can lead your team. And he has unbelievable feel for what his teammates are good at and knowing how to help them maximize their success.
Mike Boynton of Oklahoma State. I dare say they asked him about OU and Texas potentially defaulting to the SEC or sprinting to the SEC. But this is not what we're talking about right now. Cade Cunningham, a point guard at 6'8", and has a wingspan that's better than 7 feet. And so he's a huge weapon. And Boynton says, hey, he can really play any position on the floor. And I mean, doesn't LeBron James want to be a point guard? Now he's bigger than Cade Cunningham, but it's kind of that type of thing. You can be a point forward. You can run the ball or run the point from any position. And Cunningham has those skills. Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio, airing from 3 to 6 Eastern. That's noon to 3 Pacific. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Chris, who's in Alabama. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Well, might as well talk about the Aaron Rodgers situation.
Might as well.
Been a big talk of the day.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just kind of interesting to hear talk about, especially I didn't really listen much to the press conference, but I hear a lot of me, what it sounds like from Aaron Rodgers. It's like, I haven't been talked to a lot or what I've done for this organization. But, like, talk about losing as, like, offensive players. I thought I heard an earlier call in the night saying, like, you know, why they lose all those players. But if you look back at the stats and going back on PFF stats, like, last season they finished almost in the top five in both offensive points and yards.
Mm-hmm.
And their production is just – it's always been the Green Bay problem of lack of defense since they won their Super Bowl, you know, in 2011, 2012. So unless Aaron Rodgers wants to be handpicking defensive players, I don't know how to fix that, because Matt LaFleur is literally kind of plugged in play and done his job, besides maybe like – end zone, red zone scoring, but I mean, it's just one of those kind of comparisons, like where he wants is like where I was. It's, you know, referenced before, like people come up to Green Bay to play with Aaron Rodgers. It was like win championships with Aaron Rodgers, but if they're not going to, you know, capitalize, they've got the offensive talent. It's the defensive talent they're lacking. So it's just kind of one of those standpoints where it's a little arrogant from his standpoint to say, well, I want implemented personnel. It's like, well, unless you're out there picking up linebackers, defensive linemen, or defensive backs, then what good is your input in?
Mm. I will say just a couple things. I agree with you about their offense. It's really strange to hear any complaints about the Green Bay Packers offense or the fact that they didn't draft any offensive skill positions. And people come at me with this whole argument. If they had one more great wide receiver, they would have been what? Better than 13-3? Better than the number one seed in the NFC last year? Oh, they would have hosted the NFC championship? Oh, wait a minute. So yeah, the general manager and the front office did its job. They did the job that they need to do. They put together a winning team. They've gone to two straight NFC championship games. I would say to you, of course, when you're comparing an MVP season career year for Aaron Rodgers to any defense, it's obviously going to be a disparity. But honestly, I feel like the Packers defense has been improved in the last couple of years. They've had a better pass rush with the Smiths. I think that they've got some veterans and they're better. And again, they went 13-3 and got to the NFC championship. And Aaron and the offense didn't capitalize on the three interceptions that the defense handed them in the second half of that NFC championship. That defense limited Brady and the Buccaneers offense and actually picked him off three times in the second half of that game.
Right. And so it's more so, it was like, yeah, you can come up and play with me, but it's like, okay, the ball's in your hands. I'm supposed to trust you to convert and capitalize on this stuff. And I agree with you when I say when seeing their defense, like this is the first time in many years, at least 5 years, that they've actually had top 15 both in defensive categories.
Yeah.
And yards.
I mean, they're a good team.
Allowed.
Right. They're one of the best teams in the league.
So it just really comes down to either play calling, like Matt LaFleur, calling red zone calls or whatever, or if you're just not able to
execution.
Capitalize.
Execution. Yes.
Execution. and if anybody's got any qualm, it's like, at least Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to, if you're hearing me, or so I doubt you are. But like,
hey,
you got Super Bowl on your name, you're already etched in history. But I'm bringing hockey style. Like, you could be my man, like Pekka Rinne over here, who's a top 20 goalie all time, no cup to his name, and he's going out in style. He's going out in humility, at least, and saying, I had a good run. But I'm not. He never once is calling out organizationers. He's never. He never once saying, hey. They come to Nashville to play for championships or anything like that.
I mean, I would agree with him that there are probably a lot of people who would love to play with him, but to take Green Bay out in, like in a blaze of glory like that, and to say that, they're coming to play with him, you just don't need to say that. It's not necessary. However, that's only a very small part of what he said, and he was definitely trying to prove a point. He's got a chip on his shoulder. So, Chris, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bud.
Oh, Bud. We're buds. We're BFFs. I once told my brother that guys call up the show all the time and call me things like dear and hun and ma'am is fine, whatever, but I don't mind. My brother said when people call you up and say honey or sweetheart or dear, you should respond with thanks, squirt. I was like, Matt, I cannot say that with a straight face.
That's actually amazing.
I know he was like, he thought he was so funny. He was going through all the different nicknames that I could use to essentially emasculate a caller. And squirt was his favorite. Like, I would just feel so wrong calling someone squirt. All right, so there's a lot we did not get to, but a couple of things. If you have not seen Caleb Dressel's victory, Olympic record in the 100-meter freestyle final, do yourself a favor and look it up because it was amazing. These sprints in the pool, they give me heart palpitations. His family was watching, of course, back in Orlando, and he got so emotional when he connected with them over video chat, and he was just amazing, but also talked about what a hard year it's been and how much this means to him. So I've watched that race over and over. Also, Bobby Fink saving the best for last. One of the best closing 50 meters I've ever seen in a brand new Olympic event. The 800-meter freestyle, the American Bobby Fink wins. It was awesome. So great night in the pool for the Americans. Katie Ledecky and the relay team won a silver medal. China set a world record in their 4x200-meter relay. And so there's a lot going on still. Gymnastics, of course, takes center stage actually in about an hour. The women's all-around competition without Simone Biles, but with Jade Carey and Suni Lee, two Americans that we can root for. And we've got one more show, so of course we'll get to everything from the NBA draft as well as the latest in the Olympics and more from NFL training camps. If you missed my conversation with Kelly Masters, longtime NFL agent, that's part of our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. Not only did she talk about sending her kids off to camp, but also she's got a brand new book coming out. I'm so proud of her. It's called High Impact Life. And for those of you who are wondering about how the call went with the boss, well, I got out of doing Zoom, which is good because I didn't really feel like it was fair that everyone else would meet him in person for the first time, but I would have to meet him over Zoom when I just woke up. So I squirmed my way out of a Zoom call. We did a regular old boring phone call. We had a great conversation. It lasted 50 minutes and I could hear him taking notes. James, is that good or bad? Wait, do you think he was taking notes or answering emails?
I think taking notes. I'm going to say taking notes. Fully engaged right. In the conversation.
He was fully engaged. Yeah, I really enjoyed talking to the new boss. In spite of myself, I did actually address him as Spike. I was determined not to do that. I called him Sir at the end. But yeah, it was a good conversation. He says first impressions are his best thing, and then after that, it's all downhill. So maybe I should lower my expectations. But yes, welcome to the fold, Sir Spike. We'll talk to you tonight after hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.